We're here on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, and we're going to begin with Rabbi Zeira Omar, which you'll see is approximately 10 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is Zeira. We're trying to reconcile the fact that David HaMelech had knowledge, he could identify Chatzos Laila and wake up at that time, and Moshe Rabbeinu, it seems, in Makas Bechoros, was unable to identify Chatzos. He only could say Kechatzos, but not Bachatzos. We had one answer that the Nevel V'chinar would wake up David HaMelech. And that was the answer of Yitzchak Bar Adon. Moshe Rabbeinu could not avail himself of a Nevel V'chinar. He simply didn't have it. Rabbi Zeira now is going to offer another reconciliation. Rabbi Zeira Omar, Moshe Li'olam Haviyoda. Moshe knew exactly when was Chatzos. V'David Nami Haviyoda, and David also knew Chatzos. Now, V'kevan, and if you'll ask, since David Haviyoda, he knew exactly when is Chatzos, Kinar Lomeli, why did he need the Kinar to wake him up? And the answer is, Le'it Ure mi shinsei. Although he could identify Chatzos, but he needed some sort of an instrument to wake him up. And the kinar was that conduit to wake him up. Now comes the real question. The cave under Moshe Havi Yoda. If Moshe knew exactly when Chatzos is, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say Bachatzos? Exactly at Chatzos would be Makas Bechoros. And the Gemara answers, Moshe Kosovar, Shema Yitu, it's Tagnine Paro. The sorcerers or the astrologers and those who look in the stars and work for Paro, and they'll think that it's already Chatzos when really it hasn't been Chatzos. They don't know exactly when Chatzos is. If they think it's already Chatzos and they see that Makas Bechoros haven't yet happened yet, Yomru, they'll declare, Moshe Badoi, Moshe's a foolish liar. He's not someone you can rely on. He said that there would be Makas Bechoros exactly at Chatzos. It's now Chatzos, and guess what? There's no Makas Bechoros. It's very interesting, Derech Agav, that we have to be concerned with what the Itztagnine Paro have to say. But apparently, when it comes to Kiddush Hashem, it's important that even the Goyim know exactly that this is Moshe is the divine Shliach, the emissary. He knows exactly when Chatzos is. The Omar Mar, we have a Braisa in Masechta Derech Eretz. And it says in that Braisa, Lamed Lashoncha Lomar Eini Odea. A person should train himself to say, I don't know. Why Shemitis Bad? Because if he says he knows and things don't happen exactly the way he predicted it, then he's going to be called a Badoi. He's going to be called a liar. V'teoches. And this will be something that will cause a Kishalon, some sort of a downfall. Now, the Braisa doesn't mean that perhaps someone would make a mistake and would say something that's incorrect. We're not talking about that. We're talking about that if he would have said Bachatzos, which is actually correct, nevertheless, he would not be able to prove it, and therefore the people would suspect him of lying. Now, this statement in the Braisa in Derech Eretz Zuta is a reference to what we call Inyanei HaOlam, meaning physical material world, the mundane world. But with regard to Divrei Torah, Chachamim tell us that Divrei Torah Mechudon Meficha Shem Yishal Lecha Odom Dover Al Tegamgen V'Tomer Lo Olam Olo Miad. That when it comes to Divrei Torah, you should be able to answer precisely, immediately, without hesitation. And even in Divrei Torah, a person shouldn't sort of boast about the factless prior that he knows and he's a great scholar. But nevertheless, what he does know, he should be straightforward, forthcoming about, and he should be very precise about it. Rav Ashi Omar, another reconciliation. Moshe Rabbeinu knew exactly when Chatzos is. And it's possible that maybe David also knew with his Chachma exactly when Chatzos is, and he didn't need a kinar in order to tell him when Chatzos is, as Rabbi Zeira said. But nevertheless, Why did Moshe Rabbeinu say kachatzos instead of bachatzos? Bepalgo urto de tleisar nage ar besar. It's the middle of the night, it's midnight of the 13th of Nisan, and tomorrow the date will be with daybreak, will be the 14th of Nisan. Havikoi, that's where Moshe was up to, and that's where he made his declaration on the night of the 13th going into the day of the 14th, that Bachatzos alai lahochi kamer. Here's what Moshe said to Klal Yisrael. Omer Hakadosh Baruch Hu Mocher Kachatzos alayla ki ha'idna. That Hakadosh Baruch Hu told me that this Makas Bechoros is going to happen exactly 24 hours from today. Kachatzos alayla. And if you calculate 24 hours from now, that's when you'll see Makas Bechoros. Ani yotzei betoch Mitzrayim. And exactly at that moment, I'm going to go out to Mitzrayim. By the way, the word Nagi means or. It means light, and that's why it refers to the next morning with daybreak. Now, in that night between the 13th of Nisan and the 14th of Nisan, that's when Moshe Rabbeinu revealed that a day from now, Kachatzos HaLaila, as it is today, just 24 hours forward, that's when Makas Bechoros is going to happen. The Achronim asked the following question: why did the Gemara have to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling this to Klal Yisrael? And moreover, it seems from the pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Paro. And it says over there, Vayeredu kol avadecha, and Vayetzim in Paro b'chari af. And the answer is that according to this explanation of Rav Ashi, who uses this language with regard to the night of the 14th of Nisan, meaning the night of the 13th going into the 14th, then it's not possible to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Paro, because immediately afterwards there was Makas Choshech on that very night. And it's only after Makas Choshech that Moshe Rabbeinu comes in front of Paro and warns him about Makas Bechoros. And in every one of the Makos, from the moment of the warning until the Makah, there would be 3 weeks. That's based on a Rashi in Shmos Perek Zayin. And therefore, it's not possible that on the night going into the 14th, Paro was receiving from Moshe a warning about Makas Bechoros that would happen within 24 hours, because Moshe Rabbeinu would have to give Asra to Paro three weeks in advance. Now, the kachatzos here is what we call a kaf hachaf adimyo, and it means almost like chatzos. And it doesn't mean an estimation, but it means almost exactly at chatzos. That since HaKadosh Baruch was talking to Klal Yisrael, this is not an issue of having to change in order to save him from being a badoi, as we saw in Rabbi Zeira, but rather he would say to Klal Yisrael, kachatzos. Well, logically, you would have said that Moshe Rabbeinu could have said Bachatzos to Klal Yisrael in the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nevertheless, he wanted to tell the people of Israel that approximately 24 hours from now, the people of Israel could know exactly what the time is now and whether it's exactly Chatzos, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu uses the term Kachatzos. Now the Gemara brings another statement about David HaMelech waking up and his great chassidus. It says in Tehillim, in Perek Peivav, Tfila leDavid Shamra Nafshi Ki Chassid Ani. And it's a pella that David Amel calls himself a chassid. It would not seem to reflect the midah of humility. And the Mesius Yesharim, by the way, in his 18th chapter, he explains what chassidus is all about. And he writes that with regard to the mitzvot that are incumbent upon Kol Yisrael, they're all known, well known, and their obligation is known, how far you have to go with them. However, if somebody loves HaKadosh Baruch, he loves his Creator, then Ava is really something that will motivate him to go beyond the letter of the law. He is so committed and sincere, and he finds it absolutely precious to do whatever he can to his father in heaven, like his physical father. If his father, for example, his physical father would tell him a little bit of what he wants, he would go way beyond that as a ben who loves his father and do much, much more. And that's called chassidus. Chassidus means when you go beyond the letter of the law because of your love of Hashem, whenever you're marachiv a kirma mitzvah to do it more and more and embellish it, that's considered a chassid. And now we're going to talk about the chassidus of David HaMelech. And here, on this pasuk that we quoted earlier, we have machlokas between Levi and Rabbi Yitzchak. According to one opinion, Kach Omar David Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Lo Chosin Oni, Shekol Malchei Mizrach Umarav Yishenim Ad Shol Shos, Vani Chatzos Laila Okuv Lahodos Lecha. Don't I deserve to be classified and described as a chassid? Here's my credentials. Here's my CV. In fact, all the malachim get up 3 hours late. They take their time waking up, but I want to get up in order to be moda, in order to thank you, Hashem. I'm going to wake up at midnight and deny myself all that sleep. Now, why does David HaMelech feel compelled to compare himself to other kings and to call himself a chassid? And perhaps we could say that even though David HaMelech could have described himself without comparing himself to the other king, perhaps we could say that David, by comparing himself to other malachim, and you might ask the question, how could these other malachim allow themselves to sleep so late? I mean, there's so much on their agenda, so much on their shoulders, responsibilities, and so forth. The answer is that the Nefesh HaAdam needs what we call Harchavas Hadas. So David HaMelech wanted to say that even though you might say it's more healthy to sleep a little bit later, and in the overall picture that's called Harchavas Hadas, but nevertheless, I'm going to show that I don't need that extra Harchavas Hadas. I can be totally focused and give up on extra sleep and all these tanugim of this world in order to express my love to Hashem and go beyond the letter of the law as a chassid. So this proves his chassidus. And why, you might ask, is he boasting of chassidus? And the answer perhaps is, Shamra nafshi ki chassid ani. In other words, he's asking Hashem to protect his nefesh, which means to stay within the bounds of anava, but at the same time to appreciate what he accomplished and how he's motivated, all this because of his avas Hashem, and that's meant to be a paradigm for others to follow suit. The Edoch. Now the Gemara offers a second explanation of what David has in mind. Kach Omar David Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam Lo Chassid Ani Shekol Malchei Mizrach Umarav Yoshvim Agudos Agudos. They sit around in groups and they have their coffee clutches, so to speak. They have their cabinet meetings. And you know, they are osek in their kavod. And every meeting, you know, the king walks in and they give him a tremendous amount of honor. Vani, but I'm not interested, says David HaMelech, in my honor. Yodai meluchlochos bidam v'ubish shafir ubishilya. My hands are dirty with blood. What does that mean, dirty with blood? It means that David HaMelech, in addition to being a king, he was also Mora Hora, and he got involved in Hilchas Tumah V'Tara. People would show him Maros of Anida and ask whether this Maros is Tame or Tar, and David HaMelech would get, so to speak, if I can use the phrase, get down on all fours. It wasn't below his dignity for him to get involved with determining whether or not this woman is Tmeya or not. In Masechta Nida, we learn that Minat Torah, there are only five categories of Maros Dam that are Metame. And the Gemara goes into detail about what they are. David HaMelech was Yageya B'Torah, but he was also Mora Hora. And Shafir means when you have the skin of a Vlad, and this is also relevant to Tumah V'Tara. And what we're talking about here, which is explained in Masechta Nida, is that the Shafir doesn't have Gidim, it doesn't have actual sinews, it's really just an R of the Vlad, it's R with an Ayin before the Vlad is actually developed. And it's such an early stage after conception that the sinews and the veins and the blood and the flesh has not yet developed. And in this context of Shafir and also Shilya, which is the placenta that covers the embryo, if a woman has what's called a hapola, she has some sort of a miscarriage, and she gives birth to a Shafir and a Shilya, then we have to check, is it developed enough so that it would be metameho with tumas leda? Or should we say, no, it's nothing. It's just maya ba'alma. It's like water. It has no halachic status. And David HaMelech would always try to see if he can find a way of being mitayer based on his understanding of the Horas HaTorah. Kidei litayer isha labayla. How great it would be to allow this woman to resume her intimate relations with her husband. Again, on many occasions for sure, he would have to give a Horas litamei and say that in all honesty it's Tameh, but even in such a case, when the Chachamim would think it was Tameh, if he, David HaMelech, thought that in his opinion it was Torah, he would take that dissenting view and go up against the Rabbim. He would be Dochik as Atzma Lohora in order to be Mitar and Isha Labaila. So David is working very hard to be Mitar women for their husbands, and perhaps this is all part of his kapara for the sin of Bathsheba. And the Ben Ish Chai comments over here that exactly what the chait of David was, you can go into detail here. I'm not going to touch on it now. In any event, this is what David HaMelech is busy with. A woman who had a hapala of a shilya or a shafir, and David HaMelech would decide whether that hapala would be metame b'tumas leda or would it not. V'lo od, David HaMelech goes beyond this, and he says, furthermore, el kol ma she'ani oseh, anything I do with regard to any halacha that I teach, ani nimlach b'mefiboshes rabbi, I don't make the decision on my own, I take a consultation and advice with Mephibosheth, who is my Rebbe. He was an Adam Gadol. He was the Ziknei Dorom. And the Chachamim always called him Mephibosheth by his name because of his and he had a tremendous status as a scholar. David HaMelech was not embarrassed to ask for his advice. And again, he was not looking for his covered. He was not looking for the name Rebbe. He was Matir and Isha Labayla with all humility, and he would always take advice from Mephibosheth, even if it meant embarrassing himself publicly. The Omer Lo, and this is what I would say to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth Rabbi, and he would turn to his Rebbe by name. I mean, this is a little bit of a pella because the Gemara says in Sanhedrin Daf Kuf that a Talmud should never mention his Rebbe's name. And here it seems that David HaMelech was mentioning the name of his Rebbe, but perhaps if you add the word Rebbe, then you're allowed to add the Rebbe's name. And therefore, he said here, Mephibosheth Rabbi. The Shach, on the other hand, seems to assume in Yoredeya Reish Mem Beis, that a Rav, you're not allowed to call him by his name, even if you add the Rabbi, the Rebbe appellation. But here, it wasn't in the presence of Mephibosheth, and therefore he would be allowed to say his Rebbe's name. No, I'm sorry. That just on the contrary, that here in our case, Haya Zeb if name is Mephibosheth, and therefore it's permissible. Then other Yehuda came to a different conclusion that Mephibosheth was one of his Rebbeim, but he wasn't a Rebbe Muvhak, and the Issa to mention your Rebbe's name only applies to a Rebbe Muvhak. But be that as it may, he would address his Rebbe and say, Yafa Danti, did I give the right decision? Did I hand out the right verdict? Or if it was, let's say, Didi Momenos or Didi Nefashos, he would ask, Yafa Chiyavti, Yafa Zikisi, these are all different Lashonos that apply to chiyuvim of dini momenos or dini nefashos, and then yofeti harti, which of course relates to the area of taros, yofeti mesi, if I was metame, do you agree with everything I said? V'lo boshti, and David HaMelech says, I had no, you know, embarrassment, I wasn't inhibited by the humiliation here of asking someone else, in this case my Rebbe Mephibosheth, for his opinion. And although David HaMelech could have said this all in one short sentence, Ani nimlach b'mfi boshes rabbi v'lo boshti, but David HaMelech really wanted to show that he was mora ha'ro'a halacha l'maisa in many different areas of Jewish law, and therefore he's marach. He had to tell you that in each one of these areas he's not embarrassed to ask m'fi boshes. Now, it would seem at the surface that he left out Issa v'Heter over here. Where does Issa v'Heter fit in to this list? But perhaps the answer is that when he says Yafa Timesi, the word Tumi here should be understood in a broader sense to refer to Issa v'Heter as well. Omar Rav Yeshua Bered Rav Idi, my crow. What's the pasuk from which we could derive some sort of indication that David HaMelech was not embarrassed when it came to Divrei Torah? He would stand in front of Mephibosheth and ask him questions to make sure that Mephibosheth agreed with his psak. It says in Tilim Kuf Yutes, V'adabra b'yedosecha neged melochim v'lo evosh. I would speak the Divrei Torah in the presence of Mephibosheth, who's such a great person that he's considered like a melech. He's called a melech in this pasuk, and I wasn't embarrassed about it. Now, the Iker of Chassidus is that a person should not be embarrassed in front of people when he's dedicated to Shamayim. And this is a great example of David's Chassidus, that he's not embarrassed. Now, whenever it says v'lo od, as we see in this particular case where David HaMelech adds v'lo od, and then he goes on to say kol mashani osa ani nimlach mefiboshes, v'lo od ella means that whatever I told you until now was not roy for any particular reason. That's the chiddush of v'lo od, that even though it's not roy, that you would think, you know, David HaMelech is the king, he's asking Mephibosheth might embarrass him, and anyone who embarrasses someone, the Gemara considers like Shvichas Damim. And how could David HaMelech lower his covetise after all the Melech? And therefore maybe you would say this is not the right behavior pattern, therefore the Gemara emphasized Vlo Od Ella. No, this is also included in the Chassidus of a Melech, and especially in the case of David, where he feels a necessity to do tshuva and do a tshuva shel tara, be mechaper for his sin with Bathsheba, and Uri Achiti was killed as a result of that whole episode. So when he says lo boshti, what he means is that I don't consider that bush as anything negative. Most people consider it as if I died, I was so humiliated. Here I see it as a mechaper, because busha has the power of being mechaperes. Now, Mephibosheth was a great Talmud Chacham, and Talmidei Chacham, the Gemara says in Gitna, called Melachim, and Mephibosheth therefore is called a Melech. But not only that, Mephibosheth in fact, says the Marasha, came from a Mishpachas Melucha. And the Ben Ish Chai adds that Melachim is a remez here to Mephibosheth, because Melachim is the osios of the letters of Machlim, which means that Mephibosheth could actually humiliate David HaMelech when David asked him the questions about whether his Ora was acceptable. And even though the David HaMelech knew that Mephibosheth was Machlim, and he gave him that power by asking him, nevertheless, David HaMelech was not hesitant to ask Mephibosheth. Also, the word Melachim indicates advice. A Melech very often is turned to for advice, and that's what Mephibosheth is here in this context. Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Lo Mephibosheth Shmo, Ela Ish Bosheth Shmo, that his name is really Ish-bosheth. If you take a look in Shmuel Beis in the second chapter, you will see that Ish-bosheth is the son of Shaul HaMelech, who ruled over Israel after Shaul died. And this was at the moment that David HaMelech was ruling over Shevet Yehuda. Tosus elsewhere writes that we shouldn't have the Girsay Ish-bosheth Shmo, because we don't find that Ish-bosheth ben Shaul was called Mephibosheth, and therefore their girsa is Lo mefiboshesh shmo ele ish baal shmo, which means that Mephibosheth is the son of Shaul from Shaul's Pilegesh, whose name was Ritzpah Bas Aya, who's called in Divrei Hayomim ish baal. So again, according to this girsa, it's ish baal. But we have the gears of Mephibosheth. Lo menikra shmo Mephibosheth shehayah mevayesh p'nei David b'alocha. That Mephibosheth means mipi boshes, from his mouth there was humiliation. And they gave him that name because with regard to divrei Torah that came out of his mouth, very often it would cause busha, humiliation to David, because very often David made a mistake and he corrected that mistake and he was mevayesh him. The Brisa adds, Lefichach zocha David v'yotzim menu kil av. Kil av was a gadol b'Torah. He was so great in Torah that he would embarrass Mephibosheth. And all this is a schus because David HaMelech was willing to lower himself and be an unav and a chassid. V'yomar Rabbi Yochanan lo kil av shmo. The name of David's son was not kil av, el Daniel shmo, but rather his name was Daniel. Lama nikri shmo kilav shayim machlim pnei Mephibosheth palocha. He would show up Mephibosheth. He was even sharper than Mephibosheth. Vi olav amar Shlomo b'chachmaso. Shlomo said about this kilav in Mishle, b'ni im chacham libecha yismach libi gam ani. The children, in this case, the son who is Kilav, if he has such a great chachma, till it gets to the point that he can be machlim if he boshes, then I am going to be happy about that. And David says that I was zocha to have a ben of this level, of this stature, and that's what it means when it says bni im chacham libecha. If you take a look in the Torah, or he'll tell you that this is in the 23rd chapter of Mishle. Just one second. The 27th chapter of Mishle. The Olav Amar Shlomo b'chochmaso, Shlomo describes this Kilav, the son of David, in such high terms that he's mesameach his lev, and his chachma is so great that he can embarrass Mephibosheth. That's how great of a scholar and a thinker he was. The Omer, and in another pasuk, Shlomo Melch says there in Mishle about Kilav, Chacham b'ni v'samach libi v'yashiv charpi davar. In other words, be smart, my son, and glad my heart. What does it mean, v'yashiv charpi davar? Who are these Charfi? So to go back a little bit into the history of it, Mephibosheth, if you recall, was embarrassing David by telling David publicly that he made a mistake. Comes along Kilav, the son of David, and he's Mevayesh Mephibosheth, and he is able to prove that Adarab, on the contrary, his father David was the one who had the right Psak Yedim, and it was Mephibosheth who made the mistake. Now, when Mephibosheth back in the day was accusing David of making a mistake in Horah, the enemies of David were very happy. They were machrifim as David, macharfim as David. They would be the macharif. They would speak words of blasphemy against David. And now the Kilav set the record straight, and he clarified that David had really given the right psak, and it was Mephibosheth who made a mistake. David Amel said this pasuk. And even though it's in Mishle, it's David who's talking, and he says, "You, my son, Kilav, you have been mesamech me with your chachma, and as a result of Ashiva Charfi Davar, now I can respond to those who tried to undermine me and say, David HaMelech, you made so many mistakes." The Gemara now deals with the question of David HaMelech, who calls himself a chassid. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. V'David mikari l'nafshei chassid. He calls himself a chassid v'aksiv. It says by David, Lulei hamanti l'ros b'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. Which means that if I didn't have this emuna, this belief that I would be zochet to see the Tuv Hashem, the greatness of God, be'eretz chayim is a reference to Olam Haba, to the next world, I would have been nichshal. I chas v'shalom would have fallen prey to the kfira and ashkacha and schar v'onesh that's so rampant, that people deny God's supervision, His providence, and His guarantee to give proper rewards and punishments. And I would see Barosi Sha'af Shehayosi Tzadik and Isovel Biolam Hazeh. So if not for David Amel's very, very strong, unwavering faith, David Amel says, I could have asked all sorts of questions about the fact that I am, generally speaking, a righteous person, and yet I'm suffering so much in this world. This is what we call theodicy, or tzaddik viralo, which leads to a person to deny God's ashkacha chas v'shalom. All sorts of types of kfira and ashkacha and tzchar v'onesh. But the emunah of David in the next world, he believed in the next world, is what saved him from all those wrong deos. And through this emunah, David Melch understood that all the suffering of tzaddikim in this world are marbe tzchar in the next world. So get ribui tzchar in the next world, and that's a great trade-off for whatever he suffers in this world. V'tana mishmeid Rabbi Yossi, we have a brice in the name of Rabbi Yossi, lama nakud al lule, why is it that according to Abmesora, there are nakudos over the word lule, which is a pasuk in Tehillim, and that means it's coming to diminish its meaning in this context, and to tell us that it wasn't so clear that David HaMelech was zocher to see Tuva, it wasn't clear to David, I should say, that he would be zocher to see what we call Tova Hashem v'olam haba, because David was overwhelmed by fear that because of his sin, he would be punished. Is Omar David v'leh HaKadosh Baruch, Ribono shel Olam, God, David says to God, Muvtach ani b'chosh atam shalim socher tov l'tzadikim liyosid lavo, am I amongst the righteous, and therefore I will be guaranteed a place in the world to come? In love, maybe I'm not such a tzaddik. And he was carrying with him the guilt of this sin, thinking that maybe he's not a tzaddik, he doesn't belong to the membership club of tzaddikim, and therefore he doesn't deserve to get a chelek to enjoy the world to come. This was David's vacillation back and forth. And this is called, in the Gemara's language, Shema Yigro Machet. But before we get to Shema Yigro Machet, let's just mention the fact that Sachar Tov, here in this Pasuk, which we saw, it says, B'tuv Hashem, that is the Sachar Tov, which is Olam Haba. There is Schar that's not Tov, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards and bestows upon the Rishonim in this world so that they're destroyed from the next world. And on a Kiyum Mitzvah Saseh, a person doesn't usually get Schar, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say to him, Mi hikdamini v'ashalim, it's a pasuk in Iyov. And on a Kiyum of a Lo Saseh, where you avoid a violation of a lo saseh, the magia schar meikar din. Let's understand why, in the comparison between mitzvah saseh and mitzvah lo saseh, a person doesn't deserve schar on an essay. Miik damini vashalem, which means that basically HaKadosh Baruch is the one who facilitates, makes it possible for you to do a mitzvah. In other words, how can you be mekayem the mitzvah of tzitzis until you get a talis? Or how can you do makah unless HaKadosh Baruch is mezakeh you in a bias? So God is really responsible for setting up the possibility, the opportunity for you to be mekayem a mitzvah. But that's not true in a losa. Losa says all your personal challenge to overcome the evil inclination, and it all depends upon you. But David HaMelech says, I believe that I will be receiving schar tov, which means schar on asei tov, even though, strictly speaking, God is not obligated to give him and grant him rewards for an essay, a kiyum essay, but I know that Hashem will do so, and that's what it means, liros b'tuv Hashem b'eretz chayim, and God will bestow good for tov, for schar tov, meaning mitzvahs asei tov, asei tov. Now, David says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I know that you'll be giving and bestowing great rewards upon the tzaddikim. Am I amongst the tzaddikim? And the answer is that it was clear to David that he was a chassid. His safek. In other words, how do we reconcile on the one hand, we're saying that David boasts about his tzidkus, his chassidus, and yet on the other hand, we have this brisa in the name of Rabbi Yossi, based on the Nekudas on the word Lule, that David HaMelech was afraid that maybe he wouldn't even have a chelek in Olam Abba. And the answer is that even though he was a chassid, but we have this principle of Shema Yigrom HaChet. So if not for Chet, for sure David HaMelech has a guarantee that he's with the Tzaddikim and he'll be Nochel Olam Abba. But now that there's a principle of Shema Yigrom HaChet, David HaMelech is overwhelmed with fear lest his chet will void all his merits and all his mitzvos, and he won't have a chelik in Olam Abba. And the Gemara embellishes this by quoting Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi Rami, he presented a seeming contradiction between two verses. Ksiv, it says in the Torah that Yaakov Avinu had a dream when he was on his way to base Lavan, and Vehine Anochi Imcha Ushmartich B'chol Shateilech. This is the famous dream in which Yaakov Avinu is told that Hashem will go with him and protect him wherever he goes, wherever Yaakov Avinu goes. And yet it says that on his way back from Beis Lavan, before he meets Esav, the pasuk says, "Vayira Yaakov Ma'od," that Yaakov is overwhelmed with fear. How do we reconcile that? I mean, you can't tell me on the one hand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells David, tells Yaakov in a chalom when he's on his way to Beis Lechem that I will be with you and I will protect you, and then to say Vayira Yaakov Ma'od. So why was Yaakov overwhelmed with fear? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised him that he, with a capital H, would protect David. And Rav Yaakov Bar Idi answers that Yaakov said, Omar, he said to himself, Shema Yigrom HaChet, that maybe after the Havtoch of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Hine Anochi Imach Ushmartich B'chol Tilech, I may have sinned. And therefore, Shema Yigrom HaChet means that the promise from the Divine Being will not actually come to pass. It will not be fulfilled. That's based on the principle of Shema Yigrom HaChet. The Gemara now tries to embellish the Braisa and the principle that Chet could cause a person to forfeit any avtoch that he got from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Asanya, we learned in a brayso with regard to Shiras Hayam in Parshas B'Shalach. It says, Ad Yavar Hashem Amcha Hashem, Ad Yavar Amzu Konisa. So what's the double language of Ad Yavar? And the brayso is going to explain that Ad Yavaram Cha Hashem Zubi Rishona, but Ad Yavaram Zukanisa Zubi Ashnia. Now, Bi Rishona is at the time of Yoshua when the Klal Yisrael entered into the land and conquered it, and Bi Ashnia is at the time of the termination of the 70 years between Churba Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. The people returned from Golus at the time of Ezra. So the double language of Ad Yavar here in this pasuk indicates some sort of an equation between Biashnia and Birishona. Mikan amru chachamim ru'uyim hayu Yisrael li'ases lehem nes bimei Ezra kederech shenasa lehem nes bimei Yoshua ben Nun. That just like there were great miracles when Klal Yisrael entered into the land of Canaan, of Eretz Yisrael at the time of Yoshua, so too they were roi for Nisim when they came up to Eretz Canaan from Babel at the time of Ezra. And they went on Aliyah against the will of Malchei Paras. They weren't Mishubadim to the Malchus. And they should have had miracles exactly like the miracles of the time of Yoshua ben Nun. And that's this Hekesh. But now we have to ask the question that why is it that in actuality, during the time of Ezra, they were not Ola B'Yad Ramah. They didn't conquer the land, you know, with a very strong fist and a very strong military. But rather, they went to Eretz Yisrael with the Haskam of Koresh. And all the days of Malchei Paras, which includes Koresh, Achashverosh, Daryovish, they were Mishubadim to them. So it means that even though the original Avtocha was that at the time of Biyashni, at the time of Ezra, there'd be even perhaps greater miracles, or at least miracles of the caliber of those miracles that took place in Eretz Yisrael when Yoshua entered into the land for the Bir Rishona, but that was all lost because of Shema, because of Gram Chet, that there were sins during the time of Ezra, and therefore all of those divine pledges did not actually come about. Now, we mentioned three opinions as to Sof Zman Kriya Shel Arvis. So listen up, because we're going back now to our Mishnah to start the Sugya on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. First, we're going to learn the last three lines on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah told us that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the latest time for Kriya Shel Arvis is Ad Sof Ashmora Rishona, which means one third of the ninth. And according to his opinion, when the Torah says that we should read Kriya Shel Arvis Shalvacha, what it means is at the time that people are going to sleep, but not later. Number two, we have the opinion in our Mishnah of Rav Gamliel, Ad Shiyala Amud HaShachar, it means B'Shalbucha, means during the course of the entire night. And finally, according to the Chachamim, Ad Chatzos HaLaila. Chachamim Omrim Ad Chatzos Chachamim Kiman Svira Lahu. Who Shita did the Chachamim accept with regard to B'Shalbucha? Ikir Rabbi Eliezer Svir Leif, they accept Rabbi Eliezer that B'Shalbucha means at the time that people go to sleep. Is Lemru, they should have said, Kir Rabbi Eliezer, that the Zman Kriyat Shema is Sofa Ashmora Rishona, up until that point, when people are going to sleep. And Vadai Shekol Misha Daito Lishon Balayla, Holech Lishkov, B'Sok Zman Zeh Bilvad. You know, anyone who's eager catch some sleep, then he should make sure to recite Kriya Shema before Sof Ashmora Rishona, and he should go to sleep during this time period. In other words, there's an enigma here. Why did the Chacham say Ad Chatzos if they are in the camp of Rabbi Eliezer, and this interpretation of B'Shalbucha means when people go to sleep, then why didn't they just say like Rabbi Eliezer that it's Sof Ashmora Rishona? That's the latest time that people go to sleep. And on the other hand, here we're going to turn to Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Ikar Rav Gamliel Svirale. If they hold like Rav Gamliel that B'Shalbucha means the entire night when people are sleeping in their beds is Lemu Rav Gamliel, then they should have said that you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema up until daybreak. Why then did they say that it's Ad Chatzos? The Olam K'Rav Gamliel Svirale. We could have guessed this answer. That the Chachamim accepted the Shita Rav Gamliel and Kriyat Shema B'Shalbucha throughout the night. Amri Ad Chatzos that this was only a gzera to make sure that a person wouldn't delay and then he would fall asleep and lose the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Kinesanya. And now we have a brisa that explains the reasoning of the Chacham of Ad Chatzos. Chachamim, where they commanded us to read Kriyat Shema no later than Chatzos, Asu Siag L'Divreya. They were putting up a fence to make sure that people would not forfeit the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Now, it's also strange here that the Gemara calls it Siag L'Divreyem, which would imply that there's some sort of takana that's coming to be Mekayim Divrei Chachamim, but Kriyat Shema is a mitzvah of Deraisa, so this doesn't make sense to call it Siag L'Divreyem. So that's a bit of a pella. Now, in the Braisa, it says that Chachamim commanded us to read Kriyat Shema before Chatzos, and in so doing, they set up a siag, a fence, to distance ourselves from forfeiting the mitzvah. And that's what it means. It says, Kedesh lo ye Adam mahalech uba min asada ba'erev. A person comes home late at night. He was a hunter. He was a farmer out in the fields. He comes home late at night. And on his way, he says, Eilich lebesi, v'ochal kima, v'eshte kima, v'ishan kima, v'akach ekra kriyat shema v'espalel. So he makes a whole calculation that when he comes back from the fields, he's going to go to his house. He's going to eat a bite, a small amount. He's going to drink a small amount. He'll perhaps close his eyes for a few minutes, and then he'll recite Kriyat Shema, and he'll pray, he'll be mispalel. Now, as a result, if he does this, chotafto shena. In other words, if he's going to eat and drink, like it says here, ochal kima v'eshte kima, that's going to make him very tired, and he's going to fall asleep. Even if he says, I'm going to eat a small amount, I'm going to rest a few minutes, but nevertheless it schleps along, and at the end of the day he falls asleep and he's not mekayim in the midst of Kriyat Shema. That's terrible. So in order to make sure that that doesn't happen, and he wouldn't come to a state of Nimtza Yoshin Kol HaLaila, therefore we're going to tell him that the Chachamim require that he read Kriyat Shema before Chatzos. And then we're not choshesh that before Kriyat Shema he's going to start eating, he's going to start taking a dribble and resting a little bit up until the boker. And that's not going to happen. We're not going to be choshesh for that to happen. The main thing is that since Chazal gave him an early deadline for Kriyat Shema, he has to recite Kriyat Shema early, before midnight the latest, and therefore we're not choshish that before he reads Kriyat Shema, he'll start eating a little bit and sleeping a little bit, and then he'll end up sleeping through the night, because since Zman Kriyat Shema is made early by the Chacham, was established that by Chatzos Laila, he's not going to start eating and drinking before he recites Kriyat Shema. He realizes that he better get Kriyat Shema under his belt, so to speak. Aval Adam Shbominas Sadaber of Nichnas and Beis Akneses in Rogil Likros Kore Rogil Shanos Shonev Kore Kriyat Shema Mispalil V'Yochel Pito Umevare. So the Bryce is adding that if a person goes on the right path and he comes from a Sada in the evening time, he immediately should go into the Beis Akneses and he should learn a little Torah. If on the other hand he can go beyond that and he can learn Mishnayos Matov, that's even greater, he should recite Kriyat Shema and then be Mispalel and then go to his house and eat his pas, and he should recite his Birkas HaMazon. Now what's going on over here is that a person, if he's doing it right, then he should make sure that once he is back in town and from the Sada, he should find time, adequate time, to be in the Beis HaKnesses. And there he'll study, Or perhaps he'll read Kriyat Shema, he'll be Mispalel, he'll eat his pas, he'll be Mevarech al Birkas HaMazon. And everything is done in its proper time, and that's what he should be doing. He gets him some Torah learning, maybe gets the Daf Yomi in, and then he learns Mishnayos, he reads Kriyat Shema, and he's Mispalel. So he has a structured day, which would more or less guarantee, hopefully, that he will not miss Kriyat Shema. The Braisa concludes with a very, very harsh statement, V'chala over al divrei chachamim chayav misa. That if he doesn't listen to the Chachamim, to be very careful to recite Kriyat Shema before Chatzos, then he's Chayav Misa. So the Gemara asks, Maishna b'chol duchta lo katoni Chayav Misa, what is so special here about the Chacham made this Gzera? And he questions it, you know, he says that he wants to... Once they read Kriyat Shema a little bit later, then the Chacham established. So what's this business here that in this particular case he doesn't listen to the Gzeres Chachamim, Kihal Chasa, and therefore he's Chayav Misa? What's this all about that he's Chayav Misa? Ibai, Sam the Gemara gives one answer, Mishum de Ika Ones, Shena. That here the Braisa had to give him a real serious warning, because we're afraid of his falling asleep. So in our context, we have to be choshesh that because he's so tired, he will violate the Divrei Chachamim. He'll sleep a little bit before Kriyat Shema. He really needs to sleep badly. And that's so tempting that therefore Chazal found it necessary to give a very, very strong warning by saying, Ha'over al Divrei Chachamim, Chai of me. So that's the first answer of the Gemara. The Ibai Seima, the second answer. Why did the Braises say the call over al divrei chacham chai of misa? It's referring to what it said earlier. U mispalel afuke miman di omar shetfilas arvis rishus kamashma dechova. The Braises went out of its way to exclude the man Yomar who says that tefillas arvis is only an optional tefillah, it's voluntary. And now the Braisa wants to teach me that tefillas arvis is a chova, and it's such a severe chova that if somebody violates this chova, and he's not interested in coming to daven in the shul, then al kach chayav misa, he will actually be punished with misa. Omar Mar, going back to the Braisa that we had earlier about a person who comes min asada kori kriyat shema umispalel, it would seem that with regard to tefillah shachris, where there's halacha of smichas gula tefillah, that the last bracha of kriyat shema, which is birchas gal yisrael, should be followed immediately with the amidah, with the shmoneh esrei, without any hefsek between them. So the Gemara wants to know, does that apply to Arvis as well? Is there a loch of smichas gula tefillah in Arvis? Well, the Braisa says before, Adam Baman Asadu Ba'erev and Kori Kriyat Shema. So it certainly seems that when it says Kori Kriyat Shema Umispalel, that's a kium of smichas gula tefillah, even though we're talking about Arvis. Misayel Leila Rabbi Yochanan, the Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ezu ben Olam Haba, Zeh Asomech Geula Litfila. That Smichus Geula Litfila is so important that it guarantees you a place in the world to come. Now, which Tfila is it? So Rabbi Yochanan spells it out, Litfila Shel Arvis. That even with regard to Myriv, there's a locha of Smichus Geula Litfila. How much more so during Shachris? I mean, the Iker Geulah, as we'll see, was Shachris. That's when they went out beyond Ramah. Yimochas HaPesach Yotzu B'nei Yisrael. And the Talmidim of Rabbi Yonah, they write that because Tfilas Arvis is a Rishus, which is a maskot in the Gemara later on in Chav Zayin, is therefore Rabbi Yochanan gives the example of Arvis, the Kol Shkenah, which more so sheish lismok with Tfilas Shachris Shehi Chova. So just to summarize Rabbi Yonah, that if in the case of Tfilas Arvis, which is Rishus, Rabbi Yochanan says that there's a mitzvah, a kiyum of smichus gula tfila, it goes without saying that with regard to Shachris, which is a tfilas chova, certainly there'll be a kiyum of smichus gula tfila. The Shittim Gubetzis is a little bit confused here because he says, why should he be so much gula tfila in order to get this schar gadol and he should be a ben olam abba? Is that what Rabbi Yochanan wants to motivate us? Ezu ben olam abba? I mean, we have a principle of being a meshamish zarav al menashe lo lekabel schar. So why is he telling me about olam abba? And he quotes one of the Rishonim who says that being somek gula tefila certainly is part of tefila itself, and a person wants to be mechaved his tefila. He knows that he has a God, and he wants to serve his God, and he loves his God. He's afraid the whole day of sin. That makes him into an olam abba. And perhaps that's what Smichus Gula Tfila is all about. Again, we haven't discussed yet what Smichus Gula Tfila is all about. Hopefully we'll get to that as we go along. In any event, let's just review what we said. We said that Rabbi Yochanan holds that there's an all about Bob Smichus Gula Tfila in Arvis. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omer, Tfilos Be'emtza Tiknum. And as Chachomu Mesakin the Tfilos of the day, between two Kriyashma. So as you start the day with Kriyashma Shal Shachris, you end the day with Kriyashma Shal Arvis, and sandwiched in the middle are the two Tfilos of Shachris at the beginning of the day and Arvis at the end of the day. So that would certainly mean that according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, there is no Smichus Gula Tfila at night because he's beginning with Arvis and then he ends the day. The closure of the day is with Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis. So there's no Smichus Gula Tfila. In any event, the Gemara tells us now that this Machlokas is very fundamental. But my Kom Niflugi, Iba Yisema Krav, Iba Yisema Svara. Two ways of understanding this Machlokas. Iba Yisema Svara, Rabbi Yochanan Sava Gula, Mi Ur Tanami Havi. Even though the real time for Geula is during the day, but there's also Geula at night. And even at Leil Pesach there was Geula, because at the time of Chatzos Laila following the Makas Bechoros, Paro called in Moshe and Aaron and he said that he was willing to be meshacher thereof, so they became free people midnight on the night of the 15th. El Shagula Mal Yasa, the real Gula, the complete Gula, Havi El Ad Safra, that's when Klal Yisrael went out during the middle of the, you know, when the sun was shining and everything was clear, that's when they were actually exited from Mitzrayim. Rabbi Shua Sofer came into the Lo Avi Yela Mitzafra, that the Iker Geula was during the day, that's when they left Mitzrayim, Lo Avi Geula Ma'al Yisa, and therefore, to be required Geula Tfila at night, that doesn't make sense, because that's not really the time of the Geula. Ibai say Makra, others say that they argued about a Pasuk, Shneim Mikra Echad Darsh, they both had a different take on a pasuk. In Parshas Vaschanan, it says in the Parsha of Kriyash B'Shobacha Uvekumecha, Rabbi Yochanan Sover Makish Shchiva Lekima. We have an equation between going to sleep and getting up. Ma Kima Kriyash Maviachach Tfila. There should be a set pattern that just like when you get up in the morning, you certainly start with Kriyashma and then you go into Tefillah, and that's called Smichus Gula Tefillah. No one has a question at that. Af, so too by equation, Shchiva Nami is also Kriyashma V'Yachakach Tefillah. You start with Kriyashma and then you're Mispalel. So the pattern repeats itself, and the night is a mirror of the morning, and it's always going to be Smichus Gula Tefillah. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi holds Makish Shchiva Lekima, And according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, instead of Shechiva Lekima, to teach you that the order, the sequence is going to be the same as Rabbi Yochanan would have a Kriyat Shema first and then Tefillah, then Ma Kima Kriyat Shema Somuch Limitoso, just like Kriyat Shema is got to be right before he gets up out of bed, so to speak. In other words, immediately after he wakes up, that's called Somuch Limitoso. Is Af Shechiva Nami Kriyat Shema Somuch Limitoso. Kriyat Shema should be right before he goes to sleep. So Kriyat Shema has to be Somuch Limitoso when he gets up in the morning. Kriyat Shema has to be Somuch Limitoso when he goes to sleep at night. Hence, there's no din of smichus gula tefila b'yarvus, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Masiv mar berei deravina. There's a kashya from a Mishnah later on in Daf Yud Aleph. It says, "Ba'erev mevarech shtayim lefaneu shtayim lachreu." There are two brachas before Kriyat Shema, which are Marev Harovim and Avas Olam, and there are two brachas after Kriyat Shema, which is Gal Yisrael and Ashkivenu. I amrit boy lismach. If Rabbi Yochanan is correct that you need smichus gula tefila, holo samach. There's no smichus gula tefila. The boy lemei mashkivenu. It says explicitly that after Gol Yisrael, the bracha following Kriyat Shema shel Arvis, he's going to recite a bracha called Hashkivenu, and that's going to wedge between gula and tefila. This would support Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amri, so the bnei yeshiva answered, came into takinu rabbon hashkivenu ki geula arich de damya. Please listen up. This is a very, very important principle called geula arich de damya. Hashkivenu is not a hefsek, but rather it's an extension of geula. When God takes us out of Mitzrayim, he doesn't just leave us off hefker in the middle of the wilderness to fend for ourselves against the elements, but rather God continues to protect us, and that's the brach vashkivenu, which ends with shomeres amo yisrael. That's the clincher of geula. That makes geula meaningful and long lasting. De'ilo tema hachi. If you're not going to agree that there's this concept called geula richta, then how are you going to justify in the case of Shachris, Heichi Motzi Somich, Homer Rabbi Yochanan Mitfila, Omer Hashem Svasai Tivtoch? That's at the beginning of his Mitchila, at the beginning of his Tefillah. That's the introduction to Tefillah. And Basof, at the end of his Tefillah, he recites Yiru Lotzen Reifi Vengel Lifanech Hashem Tzuri V'Gali. These are all psukim in Tehillim. And now this Pasuk Gil Ratzon and Reifi is going to be a hefsek between the Brach of Gal Yisrael that he recited earlier and the Pasuk and Tefillah, which he's going to daven after he recites. Let me stand corrected here. We're talking about Hashem Sosai Tivtach, which is now a hefsek between Gal Yisrael and Tefillah. Ella, you must answer, came into Takin Rabbanan Lemeimar, since the Rabbanan have this introductory phrase based on a pasuk in Tehillim of Hashem Sosai Tivtach, Ki Tefillah Arichta Dami. It's not a hefsek, it doesn't wedge between the two, but rather it is part of Tefillah. And if it's part of Tefillah, then you go from Gal Yisrael into Tefillah, from Gal Yisrael into Hashem Sosai Tivtach, Hachanami, in a mirror image, came into the Kinner Rabbanu Lemei Ashkivenu ki Geula Richta Damia. This takana of Ashkivenu is an extension of Geula, and therefore it doesn't wedge between Gal Yisrael and Tefillah. Hence, we can defend Rabbi Yochanan's position that there's a kiyum of Smichas Geula Tefillah in Arvis. Now, in Mirza Shembeli Neder, when we have time for a more in-depth shiur, I would share with you some of the insights of my Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, with regard to Smichus Gula Tefillah at night, to understand on a deeper level what Rabbi Yochanan is all about. The Gemara now brings one last inyan about Ben Olam Haba Omer Abulazar Baravina Kola Omer Tehillah Lid David. If anyone recites the chapter 145 of Tehillim on a daily basis, which we call Ashrei It's Tehillah Lid David, then if he does it three times a day, muvtach lo shu ben olam haba my taima. What's so great about Tehillah David to repeat it three times a day? First, the Gemara suggests ilema mishum di asya bi aleph beis. It's an acrostic form that goes through the aleph beis, with the exception of one letter, as we'll soon see. Is nemo? What about Tehillim kuf yud tes ashrei smimi darach? The Asyon Bisamne Apin, eight times each verse starts with that letter. So you have Aleph starting eight verses. The Aleph begins each one of eight verses. So you go through the Aleph Beis not once, not twice, but eight times. That would make it even greater. Maybe you should be reciting Kuf Yutes on a daily basis, three times a day. And that would go even beyond Ashrei. So it can't be that the Aleph Beis is the key to success and that makes you into an Olam Haba. By the way, if you would have to recite Kuf Yutes on a daily basis three times a day, you might as well close shop. It's even more extensive than Daf Yomi. Ella, but rather, what's so great about Tehillah L'davim, Mishum De'ispei, Poseach Es Yodecha, Masbi'a L'chol Chai Ratzon, that's the great Sheva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to guarantee sustenance for every creature on the face of the earth. And the Gemara says, if that be the case, then I have another question. Neimar Hallel HaGadol. Why don't we recite Hallel HaGadol? Because Hallel HaGadol, Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Olam Chasdo, Elokim Ki Olam Chasdo, has a tremendous Shevach and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that doesn't fall short in its significance and its beauty and glory to Poseach Yodecha. Because the Chsiv Bei, in that chapter, which is chapter Kuf Lamed Vav, it says, No Sein Lechem L'chol Basar, Elo the Gemara answers, Mishum De Islei Tarte, that there are two milos here, Tantilo the David. Number one, it has the Seder of the Aleph Beis, and number two, it has this beautiful Shevach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains the entire world, and every single creature therein. Amrab Yochanan, Mipnei Malo Nemar, Nun the Ashrei, there's one letter in the Aleph Beis that's omitted in Tehillah L'David, that's the Nun, and the answer is Mipnei Sheyeshba, it has an allusion to Mapalosan Shalsone Yisrael, that the Nun represents Nefila. Again, the Gemara uses this euphemism called Sone Yisrael, referring to Klal Yisrael, because the Pasuk in Amos says Naflo Lo Tosif Kum Besulas Yisrael, as if to predict that Klal Yisrael Chas V'Shalom will fall and they never rise, and that remez to that pasuk through the Nun is something that should be omitted, and therefore David HaMelech deliberately skips and omits the Nun. But my Rava Metarzeli Hachin Erzeli give a different answer, so that we shouldn't think that a Nun is really a klola. It says Nafla. Let's read the pasuk in Amos Nafla, but V'lo Tosif Linpol Od. Then you put a comma after the word Nafla in this pasuk, and it means that even though Klal Yisrael fell, but Lo Tosif Limpol Od, they will never again fall, but Kum Besulas Yisrael, they will always be in a state of glory, of Kima. Omer Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Afilu Hachi, Chazar David Usmachan, Beruach HaKodesh, and Emar Somech Hashem, L'chol HaNoflim. That David HaMelech, after he composed this capital, Kuf Mem Hei of Tehillah David, he had a Ruach HaKodesh, and he wrote a remez to Smichas Hanafilu Shel Yisrael, that God would save us from falling, Shenemar, because it says in this capital, Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim, that Hashem would definitely protect all of us, Klal Yisrael, from falling. That pasuk, Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim, would really follow the letter Nun, which was omitted. So the Somech Hashem L'chol Noflim is really Ashlama to make up for the absence of the Nun, and thank Hashem for the fact that He protects us and He'll never let us fall.